Welcome to the Small Business and Startup Stories DSM podcast, where we dive into the journeys of small business owners and entrepreneurs right here in Greater Des Moines. I am your host, Emily McLean. In each conversation, we will uncover the ingredients of business ownership and success to build something extraordinary. Welcome back. Today, I'm joined by Garrison, or as you may know him, Gigi of Gigi's Chicken and Waffles. Garrison, tell us a little bit about yourself and about your business.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for having me. I really appreciate that. So my name is Garrison Goodlett, and or Gigi, with Gigi's Chicken and Waffles. The name was not original at all. We were at the farmer's market, actually. We started way back in 2019, right before pandemic, right?
Oh, which as is all the good stories do.
Exactly. That's when you want to start a restaurant business, is right before a pandemic of the world. So we just timed it right. So we started actually at the farmer's market, and I appreciate y'all for doing that. You took a flyer on us because that was the first time we had ever sold a piece of chicken anywhere. I had cooked back at my church for a while, and that's where I learned to cook and fry chicken. And that's where you want to learn fried chicken, by the way.
Is it?
Yes. It's at the basement of a predominantly black church, right? Because if you know, you know. We will tell you about yourself if it's not good, okay? You know, if you've ever been to a black cookout, they'd be like, who made this macaroni and cheese? Who made the potato salad? So it's important, okay?
And you don't know if you should raise your hand or not. Is it good or is it bad?
Mm-hmm,
I can't tell.
And they will tell you. You don't stay away from
so
that.
So you had a tough critic right off the bat. So you knew. You test marketed early.
Exactly. So I'm super blessed to do that. I mean, I really think this is kind of the design of God, really. I mean, that's behind my life, you know. And I really think that I started there, and it was kind of my training to do this. You know, I had no predispositions with regards to starting a business. I wasn't like a gung-ho entrepreneur kind of guy at the beginning, right? But I got the bug late, and better late than never, right? I'm still a young guy, right?
Okay. Still young.
Yeah,
you're always young.
Thank you.
Always young
people,
at heart.
Actually, I was at the, just side note here, I'm just going to detour, but I was at the gas station, and this guy was like, oh, you know, I had to give him my ID. He was like, oh, being born in 82, you look young. I thought you were younger than me.
I was born in 96, and they stopped IDing me. And I'm like, wow, I look old. Oh, no. So you're looking young. Way to go.
Thank you. It's hilarious because I tell them.
I'll take your skincare routine anytime.
Exactly.
I got to look good.
Well, it's chicken and waffles.
That is a good routine.
Exactly. And I told him, I said, my kids, sometimes they get mistaken for my brother and sister. And they hate that. And I love it. And I just love rubbing it in their face. So I digress. So we started, I started cooking at my church, chicken, and we had cooked for a lot of people, but like I said, we had not did nothing like the farmer's market and things like that. So we were super blessed to be out there. I think the inception of the idea started when my wife and I went to LA. And we ate at this chicken and waffle spot there. Won't name names, protect the innocent, right? But we were waiting for an hour plus probably to get our food. It might have been closer to an hour and a half. And my wife was getting hangry, okay? She was looking crazy, okay? And you don't want to say anything too quickly, okay? But we got our food, and then she was like, we were both kind of underwhelmed.
Oh.
You know? Not that it was bad, but it was just not worth the hype necessarily, you know? So that's kind of, I think, where the idea came. And then right before, so the winter before the farmer's market in 2019, I was last minute, but I put the application in and I was like calling my parents and I was like, hey, what do we do? You know, my wife was on the line. So what, you know, what do I call this thing? You know, and like nobody came up with anything that I liked. So it was just like, you know what? Gigi's. So that's where it came from. Gigi's Chicken and Waffles. And we've been off to the races since then. Actually, it was funny. Our first day, our very first day. I mean, we what trial by fire, my friend.
First market day?
Yes, the first market day. We had a commercial kitchen, certain location. And I got there. It was probably maybe 3:30 in the morning or something like that. Okay, so it's partly me, but partly not me. So there was a key, a little box, right? And I knew what the code was. I asked somebody else that was using the kitchen as well. The box was gone when I got there.
Just vanished?
It was gone. I guess they changed the locks and they decided not to use the lockbox anymore because there was a code for it. You take the key out and use it. I didn't know about it. So we were locked out. The first time that we were going to sell any chicken anywhere, and I told people about this, we were locked out of our kitchen. So I'm like freaking out. I called my father-in-law, and I'm just like, what do I do? So we called the police. I don't know what they're going to do. Break it down, but whatever. We called the police.
I swear I'm supposed to be here. Can you please let me in? I don't have a key.
Exactly. Like, yeah, do you see my chicken in there? Look. Just, yeah, right around the corner there.
Have to be at the farmer's market at 6 a.m. Exactly. Can you help me out?
Right. I mean, if I'm trying to steal stuff, it's like a bad story, right? It's like a totally just unbelievable story. But we were locked out, and I was freaking out. And then my father-in-law got there. I don't know. It was like maybe 4 o'clock, 4 something. And I'm like praying. And he's like, you know, you need to pray. And then, let's see, my niece gets there. And she goes around the building, and she finds a door that's unlocked, which nobody would have thought of because it's like totally far away. And it's like it's 2 separations in this building. So she opened that, and we got in. And we finally got to our stuff. But it was like 6 o'clock or something like that. And it starts at 7. So it was like we were just, I was jumping around, just throwing stuff in the U-Haul.
Constantly and having a back and forth.
It was crazy. And we were like, to get to the other side, there was these doors that kind of like garage doors. So we were just like pushing buttons, you know, trying to get them to go up. And then the door revealed like boonies or something like that. And then we went to the door and got our stuff. But I was like, you know, man, this is going to be egg in my face. I'm telling people I'm going to be here. They're going to be like, this dude is not serious.
That might be one of the most relatable stories. Okay. I think for our business owners,
Yes. There's
always going to be something that you didn't expect. And behind that something is another something that just curved a ball at you.
Yes.
And you make the best of a situation and you keep moving forward.
That's a fact.
And that's what you've done with Gigi since the beginning.
That's a fact.
So you started with the craziest market day you could have ever anticipated.
100%.
Or not anticipated.
Right, correct.
And then you hit COVID.
Yes.
So why did you decide to build your business here in Greater Des Moines and continue building despite all of the challenges that you had starting?
Sure. Well, like I said, I think this is, first of all, the design of God just for my life, right? So I think I'm supposed to be here. I think the benefit for being in this market is that it's not saturated for my kind of food. There's a lot of different kinds of foods here, but it's not saturated for what I do. And I think that there's a void for businesses that are not just businesses for selling food, but they want to connect with their people and they want to spread a positive message. You know, we're about, you know, I say the 5 F's: family, food, fun, philanthropy, and one other, and I forgot what it was. And I know philanthropy is not an F, but I forgot the last one.
It can be if we want to.
Yes, it can be. So but yes, the resources here that can help us to increase, and the desire, you know, like Evelyn K. Davis, for example, you know, we've connected with people there. There's just awesome people around here, and this is places that we can grow. So that's why if we started somewhere else, you know, there's a lot of competition for what we do, and we're growing the scene around here in terms of food trucks. We're growing the scene in terms of food in general, you know, those kinds of things. So this is the place.
There are a couple similar businesses.
Sure.
That are already brick and mortar.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And in the years that you have been in business, you haven't quite made that transition yet.
Right.
What is your current business model and how is that working for you? Because there's a lot of different ways to own a successful business.
100%. So our business model now, I think there's probably 3 ways. Not probably, there's definitely 3 ways that we make money. Number one, we do catering. And catering is really good for us. I mean, this year,
it's also very tasty. The partnership can attest to that.
Continue, please.
So good.
Okay, I like it.
We've had requests. We're actually a little sad we don't have some chicken ASMR for you guys.
Right.
That's okay. We'll get it next time.
Right, exactly. We'll crunch on it. But what was the question again?
Successful business,
yes.
Not brick and mortar.
Okay, yes. So I don't sleep very well. I'm already absent-minded, so it's just a recipe for disaster. So just forgive me, guys. But 3 ways that we make money: catering. And that has been awesome this year. We did a catering for a construction company, and that was for 650 people. That was by far the biggest that we've ever done. We've had others as well. So we've had actually my father-in-law, he's also my bookkeeper, business manager person. I think he said that we did, in just 2 months, we did like a third of the business that we did all of last year. So we're out of the gates running. So we're being super blessed, and I appreciate everybody that's reached out to us and everything. So that's number one. But we also do pop-ups out of Kitchen Spaces, 1139 24th Street in the Drake area, so right up from Drake Diner. So we do pop-ups and we let people know, hey, we're going to be out today. Well, we give them a little bit of lead time, right? So we tell them, hey, couple weeks, put it on your calendar, we're going to be up. A week later, we're going to be out, so come on. So and then the final way is we do different markets and things like that. So we talked about the Farmers Market, World Food Festival, Ankeny Summerfest, Out to Lunch we're going to be doing. So there's a bunch of different ways that we try to go out to the people as well and feed people good food.
So it's very similar to a food truck model, but yes, not on wheels.
That is correct. Now, there are some challenges with that because we don't have a big truck yet. So we're renting a U-Haul, we're packing it up, we're pulling it out and all that stuff. But I think that's the next evolution of our business probably is a trailer truck type of situation, and then that way we can kind of bounce in and out and just be more mobile, and it's easier to get to where we need to be. So I think this year is really just growing that revenue and learning from mistakes and all these kinds of things, and then next year I think getting that trailer truck situation, and then also hopefully getting into the fair. And I mean, there's all kinds of facets that food can go. Everybody's got to eat, you know, everybody's got a mouth, you know what I'm saying?
So is the goal to have a truck or a stand at the Iowa State Fair?
Yes,
that's a big goal.
Yes on both.
That's so, a lot of people to feed chickens.
Oh my goodness. We applied once. We didn't get in, but that's okay. It wasn't our time yet. But we will get in. I'm calling it today. You heard it.
Coming soon to Iowa State Fair.
Fingers crossed. You heard it. So we will be in there next couple few years. We will be in there 100%.
So you have worked out of Kitchen Spaces and you continue to work out of Kitchen Spaces,
yes,
correct?
That's correct.
How has that helped or affected your licensing process, especially as you're looking to go into a truck or going to food festivals? Because sure, there's a lot of entrepreneurs and business owners who are getting into the right, restaurant industry.
Right.
Do you have to do a license every time you go to a new pop-up? Or how does that work?
Yeah, so it's actually not as hard as you would think. The initial process may be a little bit more involved, but after you just renew and renew and renew. So what we have is we have a license with our commercial kitchen. So that allows us to serve food out of there directly, but also to go to do catering out of there and things like that. We also get a temporary license where we can do other things like farmers markets and World Food Festival and things like that. So we just pay one time where we can be in all of Polk County. So it's pretty cool, and we just we list the things that we're going to do. If we add stuff, we just let them know, hey, we're adding something, and if they have any concerns, they'll let us know, hey, make sure to keep it at this temperature, you know, make sure that you're not doing this, that kind of thing. So it's not a hard process to do. And you can ask, you know, anybody that is at Kitchen Spaces that's done it before. The people there are awesome. So and I love being part of that community. The small restaurant community. It's really cool. There's people that I've met, awesome people, and just really blessed to kind of increase my circle by being part of this business. I've told people that if you go back like before COVID, right, before 2019, it's kind of like I'm a different person because like I'm doing all these things right now and I'm blessed to do that. But I was like doing not a lot. I was doing like two things. I was doing church stuff. I was working, and that's pretty much it. But now, you know, I got this going, I got the business going, I got stuff with the community and all these things. So it's like I'm growing up. I'm being a big boy now, you know. So
your business has connected you in more ways than you thought possible.
100%. I mean, I'm on the Chamber of Commerce board in Ankeny. I didn't think about that. Somebody asked me, Melissa Cox, asked me, and I'm so appreciative of that. She's the president, and I mean, I'm in the AALA, African American Leadership Academy. you know, I'm just trying to get cooked in and connected. You know, I've said, as I get older, you know, you mature, right? And you get, hopefully you get better, you know? And, you know, I want to be less about me, about Gigi, and trying to help people, you know? So this business is not just for me, but it's also to spread the message of love, you know, about family, about God, about, you know, helping people, you know? And that's, and we, you know, for Christmas, Thanksgiving times and things like that, we do food giveaways and things. I need to do more of that as well. But I want this to be just more than a business and me just to be, not just be about me. You know what I'm saying? So
it's more than money.
Exactly. It's more than money. And like I said, I think that this was something that was given to me to spread love around. You know what I'm saying? Because there's a lot of the opposite of love going on right now. There's a lot of contention. There's a lot of things going on that are not good. And there needs to be some positivity in this world.
And a lot of things can be settled over a good meal.
Exactly. Like I said, everybody's got a mouth. And if nobody said that, I'm coining that phrase today, okay?
Is that going to be your new tagline?
It might be. Absolutely. Woke chicken we got when we got fry, fly, or die. So that we'll add that to it.
Family is really big and really important to you.
100%.
You brought some family with you today.
Yes. I dragged her along. This is Mia or Mimi. Absolutely. She has helped me. She's been invaluable to the team. I mean, she's been, I mean, we're talking about, you know, worked a dozen hours, you know, being out in the heat at World Food Festival or out at the, where do we did Rag Bright last year. If you remember, it was like 100 degrees. So, and actually you were sick. Yeah, she was sick too. And that was an interesting event that we did. So, but yeah, she's been absolutely invaluable. And the rest of my family have been super, super helpful. You know, we're talking about mother and father-in-law, my wife, my sister and brother-in-law. Let's see, who else? People not directly in my family, but they're still family, you know, people that I've grown up with and things like that. I couldn't have done this business and gotten this far without them. And also, they need to pick you up sometimes when you're down. You know, when you're starting the business and then you're out at the kitchen and then it's like, man, like, you got two orders, you know, and you're just like, is this a thing? Is this like, was I supposed to do this? You know, like, you're questioning everything. And that's what will happen with, you know, any entrepreneurs out there. You know, you're always going to have, I shouldn't say always, but many times you have that questioning period and you got to push through that, you know, and that's everything in life, not just entrepreneurship. You got to push through family stuff. You got to push through professional things. You got to push through everything and you have to have a belief that you're going to make it, you know. So I couldn't have made it without them, couldn't have made it without God. And I tell people this, that I believe that, you know, when I had some personal problems with some of, you know, my personal family, I was able to get closer to my wife's family because of that. And it also helped me get through COVID, you know, because I wasn't cooped up. I mean, I was cooped up with everybody else, but I also had some other things to do when we had pop-ups and things like that. So it gave me something to, like, do something with my hands, you know. So super blessed to have this opportunity.
And other members of your family have also done entrepreneurship and owned businesses. What kind of impression did that have on you, their success, their failures, or challenges?
Yeah. So my father-in-law, he is a serial entrepreneur. So he brings that side of the business to me and helps me think about things in a way that I probably wouldn't before. And I've battled with he and my mother-in-law as well many times. You know, because to be honest with you, I mean, he's like my biggest hype man, as you already know, okay?
Yes.
I mean, I think he believes in me more than I believe in me, you know, which you need that kind of a person. And it's amazing to have. So that's awesome to have. My son has a painting business as well. So it's great to be able to hopefully help him out a little bit and get him further in that. And I want my daughter to, I want us all to have businesses and things like that. So actually my wife is starting a hiking club, a Black Iowa hiking club to hike around Iowa and other places and things like that. Because she was a travel nurse, and she does that from time to time. She's on a break now. But she went to Charleston, West Virginia, which if you've never been there, it's really beautiful. I mean, she was in the mountains in her with her apartment. It was like a little baby mountain, but it was awesome. I mean, you had to go up this hill. If your transmission is not good, don't try it, okay? And hers wasn't amazing. I had to put her in turbo mode, you know, to get up there. But it was amazing. You know, I kind of just wanted to stay there. I visited her at least a couple times. But it was beautiful, and she got the hiking bug, you know? So she wants to do that for fitness and to get Black Iowans, like, out and together and stuff like that, and kind of a passion that she's grown with. So she's starting her own thing. Not per se, it's not a for profit, but it's still kind of a business.
So you're inspiring others.
I would hope to think so. I would hope to think so. I would hope to think so. But, you know, the inspiration, you know, it's really from God, ultimately, you know, for my life. And, you know, because he knows the things that he sees around the corners that I can't see. And, you know, picks me up when I am down. So I'm just so appreciative.
What are some challenges that you have encountered that you didn't expect? Besides COVID.
You took my no. Challenges, let's see. Well, that I didn't expect. I'm going to say all of them, because I don't know that I sat down and was like, this is the challenge that I think that I'm going to meet. Okay, so I'm going to say all of them. So, you know, not knowing what you don't know, I guess, is a big thing. And I think that's for everybody. But I would just challenge people to get in and just do it. Sometimes people want things so perfect, but sometimes you just have to jump in, you know, and just do it. So sometimes, and you're going to fail, and failure is part of the process. So I think going against who I am sometimes, you know, I could be super nice and maybe too nice, and they're like, my parents would love, they're like, oh, no, don't do that. That's too much, you know. But those are things that you just grow from. Also knowing, you know, you don't know necessarily what's your next step, and, you know, should you do this event? Should you not? Do you think it's going to be profitable or not? I mean, we've been at events where it was just, it was brutal, right? But then we've been at events that have been amazing. World Food Festival, by the way. That's a beautiful arts festival. Very, very nice. But just knowing where to go, you don't always, and sometimes you just have to take that step. And sometimes you have to go through that and be like, that's probably not an opportunity that is good for us. That's probably not the way to go. And, you know, just picking yourself up and making the next steps, you know, trying to get better.
You talked a little bit about the Evelyn K. Davis Center earlier, but I mm-hmm. want to transition and see what other resources did you find useful in your journey, and where did you find them, and how did you get there?
Sure. Well, it's kind of an offshoot of the Evelyn K. Davis Center, but I was connected with Drake University. I went through one of their programs. I've also connected with, through our Facebook and things like that, you know, have connected through opportunities, you know, with your organization and other organizations that, you know, want to do business with us. So those are some things that I think have been beneficial. And I think that you get out of it what you put into it, you know, because you can connect with the most amazing person, but if you don't utilize them as a resource, then you're not going to get out all of those benefits. You need to get all those gold nuggets. And that's something that I need to do a better job of, is just get a good resource, holding on to them, and just pulling out everything that I possibly can get, you know, because I don't have all the answers 100%. I will tell you that. But this person might have an answer. This person might have an answer. Another person. And then you just put it all together.
What advice would you have for someone who's wanting to start a business, especially in the food industry?
I would tell them that, well, what I've told them before is that go into it understanding that you're going to have struggles. Food businesses fail at a very large rate. That's why banks don't really like to lend to food businesses and things like that. So I would say understand that you're going to have challenges, but believe in your product, test your product, talk to people that have already been doing what you're doing, and try to learn from their mistakes and learn from the tips and tricks that they have already. So I would say, yeah, get a mentor, get people that are in that sphere already that can help you. So that way you're not reinventing the wheel, and that way you can get further faster and you won't have to be just in the mire for a while.
You do ordering how often? Where can people order at Gigi's Chicken?
Okay, well, thank you very much. I appreciate you. So we do at Kitchen Spaces. We pop up there, so we don't have regular hours, unfortunately, at this point. But we will be there. I don't know when this is airing, but we will be there on March 29th. And you can pre-order. So we turn on the ordering about a week before, so we can get all the pre-orders in. You can do DoorDash and Uber Eats. But if you follow us on Facebook or Instagram, we're going to post when we're going to be out there. So we'll just let red lights, big shiny circle and all that stuff. We let people know.
And you're really active on social.
Well, I try to be. Sometimes the mind just runs out of ideas, but then there are times where I'm just putting stuff out there. But yes, please follow us. And we put food stuff out there, but other stuff too, hopefully that are inspiring and funny and all the things, right? But yes, we do pop-ups. And as this season is coming into spring and to summer and stuff like that, there's going to be a lot of events that we're going to do. So you can find us and follow us. You know, we'd love to see your face over and over again. And I'm terrible with names, so forgive me if I forget your name. Don't take it personal. I don't know my name sometimes when I wake up. So who's that guy? Gotta look at my name tag. Okay, gotcha.
He's the guy that makes the best chicken in the city. That's it.
Hey, say that again.
Well, thank you so much for being here with us today, Gigi.
Oh, you didn't grill me too much. Okay, fair enough. Do a little ASMR before we leave. Appreciate you.
Thank you. Hey, thanks for listening to this episode of the Small Business and Startup Stories DSM podcast, produced by the Greater Des Moines Partnership. I am Emily McLean, and I hope that you took away a couple of notes for your small business here in Greater Des Moines. Until next time.